teams playing on the same day. The Prairie Dragon Paddlers, some breast cancer survivors, will be with us in hour number two tomorrow for a few minutes. Friday, open line at 9, and flashback Friday at 10 a.m. on Friday. But here today, we're going to be joined by Peter Fox. He's the founder of Fox Development Corporation. It's a real estate development firm which develops, manages, and leases approximately 1.5 million square feet of office and retail space in Champaign, Illinois. He was a managing director at Bear Stearns & Company, relocated to Champaign. He's owned some Wendy's. He's been a franchisee with Jimmy John's. We'll talk about that a little bit. If you know about the iHotel and Conference Center, he was the man responsible for that. The Research Park at the University of Illinois, you name it, he's been involved here in Champaign. And Peter is with us today. It's good to have you in the studio. How are you?
Thank you for the opportunity, good. Ryan.
You can scoot up there a little bit if you want.
I will.
We can hear you.
Thank you.
Well, good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
You've been Champaign's been a big part of your life for a long time, right? You grew up here.
I grew up here, and it's my wife and I find associating with the university has really been an enormous opportunity for us. We've been involved developing the research park for, I think, 17 years now. We have 2,000 jobs there, and it's really amazing some of the companies that we've been able to attract. And they're not coming because of my real estate acumen. They're coming because of the excellence at the university. And we've had a great partnership with the College of Engineering and many other units on campus. So it's a business, but it's really quite rewarding personally to be involved to that level with the university.
Well, it's amazing when you envision in your mind what something might look like, whether mm-hmm. it's a hotel or a restaurant or a research park. Mm-hmm. Has it turned out the way you sort of envisioned it, or maybe even beyond what you thought it would be?
Well, I think when we first started, I would bring people out there and they say, well, there's not much here.
Some hog
and I remember taking Exxon there one day, and the guy was very polite but not very impressed. And what's happened is with the commitment of the chancellor's office, you know, President Killeen, Chancellor Jones, and their predecessors, we now have most of campus helping us sell the product. And it's led by Laura Frericks, who runs the research park. And really the combination of Laura, she's, I think, probably the best there is in the country at this. And I think she's been acknowledged so by her peers. So we really just execute. Mm-hmm. We build the buildings. We try to fill them and keep them full. But we're delighted to have the university help us drive occupancy.
Yeah. And who all is out there now? I mean, to think of all the – I mean, there's so much when you drive by there. Sometimes you miss it.
I'm going to forget a few, but we started with Caterpillar. Mm-hmm. We're now expanding Caterpillar to another full floor in a brand-new building. So they've redoubled their commitment. We have people ranging from Synchrony Finance, which was the former GE Finance. They're doing some very cool things. You'll see some of their ads on TV. We have Grainger. We have Ameren. We have John Deere. We have Monsanto, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Syngenta, and a new, very interesting company by the name of Granular, which was recently acquired by DuPont and Dow. And what's happened is we're now seeing ag tech and some of the expertise at the university helping us drive some of these ag tech companies. There's also quite a few, I think at last count, Laura was telling me, 80 to 85 startups, you know, which can range from one person to several people. So now we're starting to get to the critical scale, and the next step, I think, is to continue to develop the parks so we get more and more of a reason for people to want to locate here. We're chasing a French company in the next couple of weeks that's in the ag space, and so it's not just local Illinois companies. We also are developing an international reputation.
How much more space is there to grow? Is there a lot?
That's not a limiting factor.
Yeah.
I mean, in many cases, they're somewhat landlocked. We've been really benefited from what Bob Easter and David Shequin before him made this land available, and now working in partnership with the new dean, who is outstanding, Kim Kidwell. You know, there's plans underway to try to relocate the feed mill and some of the other operations. So space is not a limiting factor.
We're here with Peter Fox today, well-known developer, grew up in Champaign, relocated here several years ago. He's got interest, and you do spend some time in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, right, as well?
Well, we have 35 Jimmy John's, the bulk of which are in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife and I are back here 7 to 10 business days every month.
Mm-hmm. And your wife is Kim. Tell us about her and your family a little bit.
Well, Kim and I have been married 36 years. She worked for Governor Thompson for, I'm going to say, 14 years or longer. And we're lucky we have two great kids. My son's in Atlanta now working for the CFO of Anheuser-Busch, and my daughter works in the investment banking area of Wells Fargo in Charlotte.
Hmm.
So we're lucky to have two great kids.
Well, being in Tar Heel country, you weren't too disappointed then when Duke got beat the other day, right?
Well, as Kim reminds me, Duke is a great university, but there is a lot of competitive pressure being so close to each other.
That's right. We're here with Peter Fox. 356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 3515-357, or email us talk@wdws.com. We're at 916. Of course, you mentioned to me before we came on the air, the last time you were on the radio with us, you were, I think, maybe at a park with Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate on maybe a Saturday show, and you were talking about building a hotel. And how long ago was that? And of course, the iHotel eventually got here.
I think it may have been 2002. And at the time, we had promised the university we would build the hotel without public subsidy. And we ended up spending $18 million. And when I say we, I want to acknowledge the Atkins family because they've been our 50-50 partner from day one, Clint and now Spencer and Todd, who really have carried on in a fashion that I know Clint would be very proud of them. And so we committed $18 million. We built 126 rooms with a restaurant. And then the university spent the money to create the conference center, which was about $14 million. We managed the entire facility. And over the 10 years, we've returned a profit of a little over $3 million to the university from the operations of the conference center. And now we're speaking with the university about trying to add another 20,000 feet to the conference center, which would allow us to accommodate groups as large as 750 to 1,000. We think, and I think Jane DeLuce and others believe, that there is some unmet need in the market. Mm-hmm. And we've been really proud of the 10 years. Our management agreement with the university was extended, and we're also very proud. We get audited every year by the university. We've had 9 clean audits, so we're very cognizant of our fiduciary responsibility to the university.
Hard to believe that iHotel's been there 10 years now.
Yeah, and it's been amazing. We, Bob Todd, who had been at the university, he's the one that convinced us that we should use campus dining as our food and beverage source on the conference center, and they've been an amazing partner. Makes it much easier for weddings and other large events. We don't have to staff up and down. The quality of their food and their personnel have really been exceptional, and so it's made it a lot easier. I mean, we say we run it, but frankly, they do a lot of the heavy lifting.
We're going to continue our visit with Peter Fox. There's the proposed multi-sport facility at the University of Illinois Research Park. This has been an ongoing process. You've heard about it in the news here with the feasibility study and the two different development projects, and Peter Fox, of course, has been a part of the one there at the Research Park. We'll talk to him about that after this timeout at 9:19 here on DWS. Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts. We're visiting here with developer Peter Fox, who is with us here this entire hour. We'll have an open line in hour number two. Darren Fletcher is tomorrow. We'll talk opening day of baseball. Darren, of course, just going to be into the University of Illinois Athletic Hall of Fame. So we'll talk to him tomorrow at 9. We have Flashback Friday, by the way, coming up in the second hour on Friday to close out the month of March. Peter Fox is with us, of course, well-known in town, but the proposed multi-sport facility at the University of Illinois Research Park, and you brought in several binders here as different things have developed and added on. Tell us about what your vision was for this and where are we now, I guess, on all of this. So
well,
you can kind of walk us through.
Yeah, I think as we were talking, when we originally envisioned the hotel, we had been talking with the athletic department for a number of years, being their neighbor in the research park. We helped work with them to repave and expand St. Mary's. As you can remember, St. Mary's was kind of a treacherous street, so we worked with their department. We share all our parking with the athletic department on weekends. They manage it for us, which has also been a very good relationship. When we have an overflow crowd at the conference center, the State Farm Center is available to us for a fee. So we looked at the existing ice rink, thought about people like Ray Timponi and others, Bonnie Blair, and it's clearly a facility that probably could be replaced, and I think everybody agrees with that. So when we first envisioned the iHotel, we considered putting an ice rink attached to it and also have it serve as a multi-purpose meeting conference center facility. And we frankly did not have a lot of interest at the time from the athletic department. Ron Gunther was very clear that it really wasn't a priority for him. And so we pivoted, built the conference center, and now we look at, in speaking to the athletic department, was there an opportunity? We think the site directly south of the State Farm Center makes a lot of sense for a variety of reasons. The current feed mill has been in place for 90 years. The College of ACES and others believe it's time to move it. A plan's in place to try to get that done. All the infrastructure is there. When we built the hotel, we worked with the city and the university to pull the chilled water, which provides our heating and air conditioning, to the area. We have all the utilities. We created new detention areas for all the storm, and there's a brand new sewer line. So one of the benefits, I think, of our site, and we're happy to meet with anybody in the community, any group, any individual, any time. We've probably met with 43 groups currently. We think the advantage of our site is time to market. If, in fact, the feed mill goes, we could develop two sheets of ice waiting on the athletic department's decision with respect to Division I hockey, but have the two sheets of ice operational within the next 2 years. We can do that for a fairly modest cost of $11 million, which we're willing to bear the entire cost of that and any operating issues with respect to cost. So the community and the university would not have to worry about subsidizing other than the current student fees that go with the existing rink. Then, if and when the athletic department decided they wanted an arena, we've designed and made provisions for that arena to go across the front of St. Mary's, directly across from the State Farm Center, beginning at 4th Street. So one of the benefits, I think, is that we think our site is substantially more cost-effective in the magnitude of $75 to $100 million. And we've presented our numbers, and we'll continue to make those available. We've evaluated our numbers versus the other proposed site, and we may be missing something, but we think the difference is substantial. So my belief is if the cost is really that significantly different, why wouldn't you continue to develop downtown Champaign, which is a spectacular asset for the community? Hans has done a great job. Carlos Nieto is really spectacular and a great operator here. And initially, Cody Sokolsky was probably the genesis for a lot of this, and he deserves credit. So I think a great reason that the Research Park is currently successful is because people enjoy having the amenities downtown. So when we made the proposal for our site, it's not our site versus downtown. We would like to see the city put their resources in a capital-efficient way, and we think our option is the most efficient.
And as you have mentioned, it's not so much that you're biased against downtown or whatever. It's just maybe location being adjacent to a lot of the other facilities. Is that also maybe a selling point on your in your mind, I guess?
That's my opinion. We already have 6,000 existing parking spaces that are paid for. And we've mapped the use of those spaces with all events. And we took the Penn State hockey schedule and assumed that was the Illinois hockey schedule because it's an existing one. There's only two conflicts, including basketball, men's, women's, and we think those are easy to schedule around. So the big cost differential, I believe, is in the structured parking and the utilities and the other infrastructure. And it's not that we're smarter than anybody downtown. It's just we have a greenfield site. And when we first did the Research Park, we also contemplated making sure that Urbana and Savoy benefited from a tax basis. So we think this is a little easier to get to also. But as I say, you know, that's our point of view, and it's best for us really when somebody has a question is to sit down with them, take them through the entire presentation, and respond to any questions. And if, frankly, we can't answer them, then it's our problem.
When the feasibility study, of course, this has been an ongoing process, I think in a lot of people's mind, they thought, okay, well, now that the feasibility study has spoken, here's what they've decided. They like the restaurants. They like all the downtown, which is great.
Right.
But I think in a lot of people's minds that, okay, well, that's it. Well, that's really because the two projects were independent of each other.
Right.
And even if they went one way, I mean, you're planning to do your pretty much regardless, right?
Obviously, whatever I do in the research park is subject to the university's approval, and that's the way our land lease works.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the city and the university carefully study the two proposals, and we've carefully studied the feasibility report that was issued by Collegiate Sports. And as I say, we just want to make our facts available, our design available, the cost differential, and the time to market. One of the things I've seen in Champaign is people talk about stuff for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the research park for many, many years before we started. Clint and myself said we're going to do it, and we promised also that we would build a certain amount of square feet every year irrespective of demand. We have done that. And when we said we would build the hotel, we built that without public subsidy, and we did that. So when I say that I can build two sheets of ice and deliver it in 2 years for $11 million, I'm just not anecdotally saying that. I'm saying I'm going to do it, and I'm going to backstop the community and the university from any financial exposure.
Mm-hmm.
When and if the arena comes, we've only already put the place setting in place, which allows the practice time, the community time. I think the other thing that's very important is our hotel and conference center is a university joint venture, but it has enormous community access. We would expect the two sheets of ice to be available to every person in this community that wants to skate. And it could be hockey skating, it can be figure skating, you know, hopefully speed skating, so that we want this to be a facility that's operated 24/7, so kids aren't getting in the car and driving an hour in the morning at 4 in the morning to get ice time, you know, and some. And we've spent a lot of time talking to Campus Rec, we've spent a lot of time talking to other people in the community, but ultimately, to your question, if the university will not allow it, I can't build it.
Okay. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
And that's just part of your agreement anyway, right?
That's the way our land lease is. We cannot build anything on university land without their approval. And not only approval, but approval with respect to design and occupancy. Mm-hmm. So every tenant that we sign in the research park, Laura Frerichs has to approve. And it's not a burden because we're not trying to lease to somebody that's inappropriate. But the university crafted a very solid land lease, and we've abided by it for 17 years.
And over the course of this whole process, you and Josh Whitman talk on a regular basis, communicate?
Well, we communicate. I have a different point of view than he does, but that's where I say it ultimately gets down to the facts of the proposals. I think in America, and particularly in this Illinois, and capital is very finite, and we're already a fairly high tax community if you look at our sales tax and property tax. So to me, as a citizen of the community or a taxpayer, I'd want to make sure that the resources are being allocated logically. And that's why when we built the hotel and the other assets in the research park, we're very careful about what we spend, because ultimately we can't charge somebody $200 a night in a hotel room. They're going to pay us the So it's a tough business, and the only thing I can say is after 17 years, I think we have a reasonable track record.
Yes, you do. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got news headlines. Peter Fox is with us. We'll talk some more about the other things he's involved with, a little bit about his history, and used to own Wendy's, got his picture with Dave Thomas years ago, and we can talk about that if you'd like. Whatever else is open, if you want to give us a call, I've got a couple of emails in regards to Peter. Well, these are pretty nice, too. I'll talk about that with him after this with Michael Kaiser, News Headlines. Back with Peter Fox after this.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. 9397. Email talk at wdws.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357.
Welcome back. Penny for your thoughts, 938. Peter Fox is with us here. A couple of callers waiting. We'll get to you in a moment. I have some text here. It says, I was in the Cayman Islands. This is from Scott with an electric company. He says, I was in the Cayman Islands last week and floating in the ocean. I struck up a conversation with a guy from Decatur. I told him I was from Champaign. He said, I only know one guy from Champaign. His name is Peter Fox. And he asked me if I knew him. I said, yes, I'm his electrician. The guy said, Peter is a big deal, isn't he? And I said, yes. He's now international, so so there you go. Your electrician weighed in there.
Yeah, but the reality, he's not an electrician.
Yeah.
He's a very successful businessman that happens to know an electric business, a heating, ventilating, air conditioning business, a low-voltage electric company. His name is Scott Davis.
Right.
He's first class.
And also, it says, how is it, this is from Bill, he says, how is it that you or Jimmy John haven't been Entrepreneur of the Year? I find it laughable that you haven't for all the success and on that. Also, got an email from Ross. He says, do you have any advice on dealing with local officials? I know bureaucracy can hold up a project. Do you have any general advice on dealing with government officials, whether it be planning or zoning?
Well, with respect to the Entrepreneur of the Year, I know it's been offered to Jimmy, and I think Jimmy's politely declined because he wanted to see other people get recognized. With respect to the, my sense is, particularly here, we found with the city of Champaign and the city of Urbana, if you go in with a complete, well-done proposal, I think both cities are pretty easy to deal with and very fair.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a good relationship for 20 years or more with Bruce Knight. He does a great job. And Bruce Walden, formerly when he was at Urbana, was a real pleasure to deal with.
Yeah, those I know both of those, especially Bruce Knight. I mean, mm-hmm. Just very personable, very street savvy with their city. They know where the strong points are.
The other thing is they're always available. They always answer their phone. They're always willing to meet. And Bruce Knight deserves a lot of the credit for what's happened growth-wise in the community, and in particular downtown. So we're lucky to have somebody of his quality.
All right, let's go to the phones here, and I think Tim is with us. Hey, Tim, good morning. You're on with Peter Fox.
Morning, guys. Peter, my question to you is on the ice surfaces, or one of the surfaces going to be possibly an Olympic oval where we could have time trials here, and also would all the DC campus rec programs transfer over there if they do remove the ice rink, and you know all your youth hockey and hockey's coming to Illinois. It's going to happen. It's always been a winning sport, and actually Notre Dame is joining the Big Ten next year, and Illinois will round out to even teams. My other question is, on the new arena, if you build it, will you sell alcohol? Because I think that would be all another plus, because they're doing it at the old hall, Assembly Hall anyway. But I really like to see an Olympic oval, and because we've had such great Olympians here, and our skating program deserves it. And if Eric's listening, maybe he can call in and tell us actual size of those. So keep up the good work, and hope we get it. Thanks, Peter.
All right. Hey, thank you, Tim.
Yeah, Tim, thank you very much. As I was mentioning to Brian, we've met with as many community groups as we can. We've spent a lot of time with Campus Rec, and obviously the plan would be to move all of those activities and also to make it available to the community in general. And that's why we spent so much time actually going through the scheduling and the access as well as the parking. And we'd be available to sit down with you or anybody else anytime to go through our not only our drawings, our renderings, our floor plans, but also the specific schedule. Or if it's easier for you, we're happy to email it to you, and then you could add some suggestions. With respect to speed skating, that's why I referenced Ray Timponi and Bonnie Blair. I mean, that was a big deal here, as everybody knows, and obviously the young Cook fellow who mm-hmm. and really outstanding, and then the Reuter mm-hmm. young lady.
Catherine Reuter, yep.
And so if it could be done, I think it would be interesting. Ultimately, we don't see ourselves as the expert operating the facility. We see the experts really being Campus Rec, the athletic department. I'm just trying to facilitate getting something built. And then to the extent that any of our personnel that are adjacent in the conference center can help with anything like we currently do, we would do that. But our goal is not to operate. Our goal is to get this olive out of the jar and get something functional for the community.
All right, 356-9397 is how you can join us on the telephones, 351-5357. Before we move on to another caller, you've worked with a company or someone who's built some other stadiums, right, as far as helping with?
The architectural firm that we used is a company by the name of Sink Combs. They're part of a much larger entity, Perkins & Will, based in Chicago. They've done 70 arenas around the country. We've worked with them along with the developer of the new Vikings Stadium where the Super Bowl was. That same developer and construction project coordinator did the Kohl Arena, did the Detroit Lions football stadium, the MetLife facility for the Giants and the Jets, has enormous expertise in sports facilities. So we wanted to bring somebody here that actually understood how these buildings work, and that's what we presented. We're happy to make those entities available and also their work. And as I was telling Brian, the only thing we can do is present the facts of our location, the cost facts behind what we've done, and then let the athletic department and the city really evaluate the facts behind each location.
All right, let's go back to the phones here, and Eric is with us. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, Brian and Peter. Mr. Fox used to work over on Fox Drive, of all places, at Amdocs for a dozen years, so I'm sure you're familiar with that organization over there. I just want to point out my good friend of mine, whenever he comes to town, he loves staying at your iHotel, and I believe your general manager, Sam, over there is a world-class guy. Always treats everybody right, including anyone I've ever recommended for the place. So just wanted to give a thumbs up for the job he does running the hotel, and I'm sure you're aware of him. So just wanted to give my 2 cents.
Thank you, Eric. Everybody knows Sam, right?
Yeah. What's interesting, Eric, I don't think many people know that the genesis of Amdocs was actually Busey Bank, and before that was part of Jim Capel's billing system for his regional telephone company. Ultimately, Amdocs bought an existing business, and we are very fortunate to have Amdocs in this community based on the employee base and the quality of people that work there. So we're really proud of having that. We took a lot of risk when we built those buildings because, as you know, they're pretty single purpose. And I had a guy that I think everybody thinks is fairly smart. His name is George Shapland.
Yep.
And George told me there's a lot of exposure there, you know, with a single tenant building. So we elected to sell those about 8 to 10 years ago. And I thank George for coaching me on risk analysis. He was smart.
Well, that's why he's done well, right?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, when you look at Entrepreneurs of the Year, George has turned it down a number of times. I think he was the first choice the first year. Maybe it was a coin toss between him and Clint, but George is very self-effacing, very modest, and he would have been, I mean, look how productive he is still mm-hmm. today.
I think you can tell me this because you're someone who knows a lot of people like this. When you think of the people who have been entrepreneurs who started with nothing and worked their way out, how mm-hmm. humble they are.
Yeah.
Someone like a Shad Khan they started with nothing.
And that's the thing, you know, when you mention Dave Thomas or Jimmy John, really amazing people to be around. And I'm kind of amused oftentimes when universities want to teach entrepreneurship, because I don't think it's really necessarily a soft science. I think it's getting your hands dirty, taking risk, and I've felt oftentimes the best place to become an engineer is go work for a well-run business. And I remember Clint always attributed working to the News Gazette as really a foundation for him. Without being patronizing, I think he felt that that gave him the underpinnings of hard work. And obviously Jimmy got it by, he'll tell you himself, but he opened a restaurant in Charleston. He took all the easy shifts, and he'll even tell you that he enjoyed some prohibited substance. I guess it's now legal in Colorado. And he found out the two guys running the store for him decided to quit, and he was stuck, and he had to run the darn thing for a year by himself. And that was really the foundation for Jimmy back in 83, 84. Yeah. And anybody that knows Jimmy knows he is a very hard worker, pays extraordinary attention to taking care of his people and the detail in his stores.
We're going to take a break. We have some more minutes left here with Peter Fox before the top of the hour. We'll come back with more phone calls, emails, and texts for Peter Fox after this. 9:52, we're on Penny for Your Thoughts. Pleased to have Peter Fox with us here. I knew this hour would go very, very quickly. We've only got, what, about 8 minutes left this hour. And a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, Peter, who runs your company when you happen to be out of town?
I've been fortunate. Andrea Rudy is the CEO, actually, and my wife owns all the stocks. So I think either Kim, but Andrea seriously runs it. She's run it very well. Many of you know that she ran the EDC, the CVB, and the Chamber of Commerce here. She had an outstanding background. She graduated number one in her class, a recent MBA class at the university. She's got, I think, enormous respect from the chancellor and other people on campus. And that's really the key to our success at the Research Park, that if we don't have the respect of Chancellor Jones, President Colleen, Andreas Kangalaris, the provost, let alone the professors and the deans, we're going to be out of business. And she presents herself always professionally, always well-prepared, and she also has an excellent working relationship with Laura Furicks.
And she's a good golfer. I've played with her a couple of times on a golf
outing.
Yeah,
and she's just a great person. Mm-hmm. I've been privileged to know her for 20 years, and frankly, a lot of people say, why does she put up with me?
Well, you're easy to get along with, I think, right?
Well, I mean, you seem I don't know. Some days I become irrational.
Let's go back to the phones. Richard's on with Peter Fox. Hi, Richard.
Morning, Brian and Peter. I've already discussed the possible scheduling conflicts using Penn State as a model that would only yield two conflicts in basketball. But I've heard Lauren and Brian talk about this as a multi-use facility, women's volleyball, gymnastics, wrestling. Is that just utterly impossible to consider it like that? What are your thoughts on this topic?
No, I think that's a good question. And what I'd like to do, if I could get your email or if you'd want to meet in person, we'd like to go through it with you, because I don't want to just throw something out saying, oh, this is all accomplishable, because it sounds kind of difficult. You got women's basketball, although I think the decision by the athletic department, or more importantly, perhaps the coach of women's basketball, they may elect to remain in the State Farm Center. So we're not assuming necessarily. We've shown pictures in our presentation of how the floor gets set up for gymnastics, wrestling, volleyball. We show all the practice facilities. But I think that's a good question on the scheduling. And it would take us probably 45 minutes to an hour to go through it with you. And if you have the time, we'd be pleased to do so.
All right. Hey, Richard, why don't you call back, give Ed your email, and we can kind of proceed from there if you want to call us back with that. We'll take care of that. We're at 9:55. Your background a little bit, you went to Stanford. You mentioned you grew up here. Your dad was, a frogman in the Navy, right, the U.S. Navy?
Well, in those days, they call it underwater demolition, and he was a frogman, and he was able to be at Okinawa and Iwo Jima, and in those days, I think the equipment was pretty primitive, and he was sent there to clean out the mines and the other fences and stuff that would prevent the troops from landing. And he was awarded a Silver Star and never talked about it much, like I think a lot of veterans from, you know, that era. But I know, you know, my mother and we're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And he was a local banker here in town. He worked out of the building across the street at 30 Main Street. And the thing about his philosophy is he was a character lender, meaning that he lent money to people that he thought would be successful, and rarely they sell off any loans or any of the collateralized or mortgage-backed securities. And he really enjoyed dealing with people. And it didn't matter who you were, whatever race, creed, religion, he just loved people.
When you were starting in the 70s and early 80s, you owned some Wendy's, right?
We had seven Wendy's in Central Illinois, and it was a great opportunity. I wish I had been a little better versed in operating a restaurant, but it ended up working out well. We sold them in 1988, and then we got back in the restaurant business in 2000 through our acquaintance with Jimmy. We were fortunate to move his headquarters, and then we became franchisees, and Jimmy let a few of us also buy part of the parent company.
I would think, though, and I've had this in my own life, sometimes what you wind up doing may not be exactly what you start out doing,
yeah.
But that experience you gain from something like that pays off, I think, dividends years down the line, because you've been in that position. You know what a successful restaurant or organization of whatever kind, how it works.
Yeah, and the other thing we're focused on now is we have probably 70 investments in small technology firms, the bulk of which are associated with the University of Illinois. Professors like Andy Singer, David Kranz, people like Gary Durek, Catherine Kleinmetz, and it's really also been a great way to find potential tenants for the research park. And it's also been rewarding. We've had several exits, and there's also another firm in town that's done a very good job, Sarah Capital. Busey's been very active, but Champaign's a great place to also be an investor.
I know with research, we've got a couple of minutes left here, a minute or so, but I know former Chancellor Phyllis Wise, the Carl Illinois College of Medicine, I know you were a big fan of that and saying, hey, that's an important part of our future.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I took Phyllis, Jim Leonard, Mike DiLorenzo, Laura Frericks to visit the Greenville healthcare system in Greenville, South Carolina, where their local hospital had put up $60 million, and they had been fighting off Charleston because Charleston was the state's medical center. Here we had the same dilemma for years with Chicago. And Carl, with Jim Leonard's leadership and other people, their board, agreed to commit $100 million. And so I take some small credit in perhaps providing an idea where the local hospital could do something. And Carl is a spectacular asset here. And I think with what's happening at the university, Andreas Kangalaris, the new dean of the med school, King Lee, this is going to be the economic driver in our area for the foreseeable future.
Peter, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
It's been a pleasure to come in, and good luck.
And as I say, we really are available, and we're not saying that gratuitously. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if our proposal from a factual basis doesn't add up, then it's my fault.
Mm-hmm. So is there a good way for people to reach you? Or just
840-1982, anytime. Text me or call me, and we're happy to sit down. We're happy to make our external professionals also available.
All right. 840-1982.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey, Peter, thank you. We appreciate
the opportunity.
Peter Fox with us here this morning on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll come back with an open line here in hour number two, and we'll take your phone calls on a wide variety of topics, news, sports, anything else on your mind, coming up in the next hour after the news at 10 on WDWS Champaign-Urbana at the Tone. It is 10 o'clock.